Today, we're joined by Daniel Hay from Power2 Accounting, a firm with offices in Slacks Creek and Caboolture, dedicated to helping small and medium-sized businesses with accounting, tax, cash flow and financial planning. Whether you're starting out or planning for retirement, Daniel and his team are passionate about building financial literacy in our community. The federal budget has just been handed down and might have created one of the biggest changes for accountants to get their head around since the GST was introduced. It certainly triggered a lot of discussion, from negative gearing and capital gains tax shakeups to changes hitting trusts and small businesses. There's a lot to unpack, so we're keen to hear how he'll cut through the noise and explain what these changes actually mean for you. So let's get started. Welcome back to 101.5 FM podcast, Daniel.
Thanks, Debbie. It's great to be back again. The budget was definitely probably one of the budgets, busier budgets I can remember, that's for sure.
Absolutely. The Treasurer described this as a very ambitious budget. From your point of view, what's the big picture?
I guess the overall picture is it's a structural reform budget. So the government has gone through some long-standing tax concessions, particularly around property. So things like capital gains and trusts are under the watchful eye and chalkboard, so to speak. So rather than just offering short-term sweeteners, they're definitely going long-term.
Geez. Property is front and centre. What are the key changes listeners should know about?
There's definitely two major ones. So firstly, the negative gearing, which has helped a lot over the years. So that from the 1st of July 2027, losses from already established residential properties will generally no longer be deductible against wages or business income. Instead, they'll actually be offset against future rental income or future property gains.
That sounds big. Who does that actually affect?
So importantly, it actually applies to properties acquired from budget night, so which is 7:30 p.m. 12th of May 2026. So if you already own a property before that time, even if it hasn't settled yet, you're protected until the property is actually sold.
That's a bit unfair, isn't it? Because they've done it from budget night instead of giving you a month to prepare.
Yeah, leading up to the end of year, you think they would have given a bit more breathing room, but
absolutely.
Typical budgets, I suppose. It's always budget night.
Okay. And what about new builds?
New builds are actually excluded from the restrictions. That's actually deliberate. So it's all about encouraging new housing supply to hit the market.
Okay. And capital gains tax. This caused a few headlines.
Definitely, and understandably too. So from the 1st of July 2027, so the 50% CGT discount that we've known for quite a while will be replaced with a cost-based indexation and will result in a minimum tax on the capital gains of 30%.
Jeez, that's a bit tough.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and does that apply to everything?
Yes, broadly all CGT assets, so anything held by individuals, trusts, partnerships, including those assets that are previously excluded from 1985. So, but this is not retrospective. So gains acquired before the 1st of July still get the 50% discount and pre-CGT 1985 assets remain exempt up to that point in time.
Okay. So at least they've put the time frame there.
Yeah, helped a little bit.
Yeah. So any carve-outs?
Only one confirmed so far. So new residential property investors can choose between the old discount or new indexation. There are no specific exemptions announced yet for startups, employee share plans or business owners more generally, so which is a bit unpleasant for some.
What about trusts? We know a lot of families and businesses use them.
So it's been around for many times, and particularly around business structures and things like that. Trusts have always been great, or asset protection and having investments only. But yeah, from the 1st of July 2028, discretionary trusts will be subject to an actual minimum of 30% tax on its income. So beneficiaries will receive a non-refundable credit, but it does not mean low-income beneficiaries could end up paying more tax.
Oh, you mean it does mean low-income
beneficiaries? Oh, sorry, it does mean.
Yeah.
sorry about that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, beneficiaries receive non-refundable, but it does mean, yeah, low-income will end up paying more tax in the end. So.
That's a significant change.
It is, yeah, and that's what the government is offering, extended rollover relief from July 2027 to 2030. So people in business can restructure, or those just investments can restructure out of discretionary trusts, into some other structure, whether it's a company or just back to the individuals. So.
Okay. Okay, so let's move to everyday workers. Is there anything positive there?
Yes, two key measures. So the new $1,000 instant tax deduction from 26-27, so which means many people won't need to keep receipts or work expenses under that amount. But the key thing is it's from the 1st of July 2026, and it relates to the 27 financial year. So just be mindful, people doing returns this year, they don't get that. It's actually from next financial year that they can apply that. And furthermore, there is a new permanent $250 working Australian tax offset. And again, that applies from the 1st of July 2027. So two separate financial years, but some little things to help to come for those individual taxpayers.
What about small businesses?
A few important things, I guess, so that the instant write-off that's been around and extended for many years, that's been confirmed and remain at the $20,000. Something that they bring around every few years, so there's a loss carryback. That'll be returning from the 1st of July 2026. How that journey works, I guess, is if a business made a profit in the prior year and made a loss in the current year, they can actually use some of the profits to offset the losses, which could actually result in some refunds for them or significantly reducing their tax liability. There's also significant extra funding for ATO, including expanding compliance and making businesses probably go from quarterly to monthly instalments, just to help out, I suppose, with cash flows as well. But it means they get paid sooner as well. So that'll actually happen from 2027 financial year.
Okay. And just quickly, electric vehicles.
So a full exemption is being wound back gradually. So at the moment, cars under 75,000 before the 1st of April 2029 keep the full exemption. So from April 2029 onwards, eligible EVs move to a permanent FBT discount up to 25%.
And one more housing-related measure?
Yes, so the ban on foreign borrowers purchasing established dwellings has been extended until out to the 30th of June 2029.
Okay, so any final takeaways before we finish?
Well, this budget has big changes, but don't start immediately. That's the thing, I guess. Anyone affected by property, trusts or business structures should get advice early. Before acting on the headlines. So.
Okay. A big thank you to Daniel Hay from Power2 for breaking down what is shaping up to be one of the most significant federal budgets in recent memory. Daniel, some really valuable insights there. Thank you very much for joining us.
That's all right, no problems.
Two changes stand out above the rest. From 1st of July 2027, negative gearing on established residential properties will no longer be deductible against wages or business income, and the 50% capital gains tax discount will be replaced with cost-based indexation plus a 30% minimum tax. Big reforms, but there's time to plan, and as Daniel says, get advice early. You can reach Daniel and the team at Power2 Accounting with offices in Slacks Creek and Caboolture. Great advice as always. Thanks for joining us on podcast on 1015fm.com.au.